This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
1 Samuel, the end of that book, is kind of a dark time. The reign of King Saul and the life of King Saul are about to come to an end. He's just consulted with the witch of Endor. He's had his last exchange with David. He said he's going to be good to him, but of course he's not. David runs away. He's staying with the Philistines. That's just gross. David is living amongst the Philistines. What an incredible time this is. And David performs some raids and things like that, and the Philistines get impressed with him. And then they're going to attack Israel, and they want David to go with him. And they end up not making him do that. But by the time David gets back to his place where he set up camp at Ziklag, he's found some bad news. And so we pick it up there in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. For the time being, Ziklag was David's home, and it was the home of all of his men. He had 600 men with him right now and their families. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. That's a lot of weeping. You can cry a lot and still cry more. They wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And when there's a great travesty like that, we all want someone at which to point the finger. We all want a donkey to pin the tail on, if you will. We want someone to take the blame, and in this case, it was David. Let's continue. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. Understand, David had 600 with him at this time, 600 men. They'd all been supposed to be going to battle with the Philistines. Then they got sent back. They made the trip back. They got there, found this. They were weak with weeping. And now they begin the journey to pursue those who had attacked their hometown, so to speak. And they get to this brook Bezor. They need to cross over it, continue to pursue. And 200 of them just, they were give out. They couldn't go any further. They could not continue. They could not be the ones to lead in the battle's fray. Well, the story goes on, and God led through some different circumstances, and they were able to go and to catch those, the Amalekites, who had burned Ziklag with fire. Let's come to verse 16, if we could. Verse 16, they've now come upon their enemies. And when he, that was an informer, had brought him down, behold, they, that's the Amalekites, were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. So when David and his 400 catch up with the Amalekites, they're having a party. They're celebrating what they've been able to do so far. Verse 17, and David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. How long is that? Pretty near 24 hours, isn't it? That's a long time to swing a sword. After traveling and chasing, and after weeping till he had no more power to weep, after coming back from being sent home by the general of the Philistines. This has been a long, hard row. Let's pick it up in middle of verse 17. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode up on camels and fled. Cowards. Verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and all the herds which they drave before the other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. So these Amalekites had raided other people too, and David said, we'll take that too. So they ended up with more than they had to begin with. Verse 21, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David. whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. So here comes the general, David, if you will, back with all of this spoil, more than he had to begin with. They're exhausted, but they're thrilled as well. And here's the 200 who stay behind. The 200 who had no strength to battle. He comes to them, and who salutes whom? Did you see that? David saluted the 200, the ones who had been faint, the ones who had been weak, the ones who had stayed back. Verse 22, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. These are of the 400 that went into battle. Some of them were a little more selfish than others. And the selfish ones said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. They said, look, they couldn't hack it, they can take off. We'll give them their wife and their kids. They don't get any money, they don't get any food, they can just leave. And now we have a group of 400 instead of a group of 600 because we're tougher than they are. That's the attitude of these men. Verse 23, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. Boy, that's a real insight into David's heart, isn't it? It's easy to be selfish when you think you've won it for yourself. But when you recognize that the Lord gave it to us, how can we hoard it? He said, we're not going to do that, brothers. He doesn't scold them too harshly. He doesn't chew them out. He calls them brothers, but he says, we're not going to do that with the things that God gave to us. Continue, verse 23. God who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. In other words, they will get an equal share of the treasures that were recovered. Verse 25, and it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. So the rule was, whoever goes to battle gets the same amount as whoever stays behind. What an amazing and gracious response David had. We're excited about what the Lord has been doing already this year at school. We're excited about the decade past and how there's been spiritual fruit won, how there's been a harvest of souls, and how there's young people being discipled. And we're thankful for that. You might call it a harvest. You might call it spiritual fruit. You might call it, these are the spoils of our spiritual warfare. It's been a real battle. And there are forces that would oppose Christian education and oppose what our teachers are trying to do day after day. But by God's grace, we've won some of those battles. We've won some spoils of war. And there are those who are on this day on their way to heaven because of the ministry of Plum Creek Christian Academy. I think a few more amens would be in order. Amen. All right. Just making sure. That's exciting. But we must be careful that we understand that the rejoicing does not only belong to those who teach in this building and in that building every day. The rejoicing, the celebration, the victory belongs to all who are a part of this ministry. There's no classes of Christians in Dyer Baptist Church. Ministries are all important at Dyer Baptist Church. And these fruits, these rewards, these spoils of our spiritual battle belong to everybody, this part of this ministry. And so today I want to think about those who stay by the educational stuff. I thought earlier about there used to be a school supply store up near Hammond called School Stuff. Well, this is those who stay by the school stuff. David said those who stay by the stuff, who stay by the food and the camp, stayed with the stuff that they couldn't carry when they were hustling off to battle, they get just as much reward as those who are wielding the sword, riding the horse, or whatever, going into battle. Now, I'm not talking about those who stay back and guard the charts and visuals. I'm not saying that if you are there camping out by the chalkboard, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about those who stay by the school stuff, stay by the educational stuff in other ways. There are some among us, some in our congregation, who are unable to enter the classroom every day. You can't cross the brook Bezor. You can't teach phonics. You don't know how to teach ninth grade science. You may not be equipped for handling three-year-olds, 12 at a time. You may not be cut out for that, but you can still stay by the stuff. You can still be a part of this ministry, just like the 200 who camped out at the Brook Besor were. Because, you see, those 200 stayed and did what they did because they could not do what the 400 were doing. But on the same token, those who were at the Brook Besor, those 200 were doing something that the 400 in battle could not do. The 400 in battle could not guard the encampment. The 400 in battle couldn't stay by their food and their supplies and their basic setup. No, it wasn't their permanent home, but it was their base of operations. And so each group was doing something the other group couldn't do. They each needed each other. And I submit to you, that's the way it is with Dire Baptist Church. You may not be a greeter at the door of the school. You may not be a cleaner in the building. You may not be a teacher or a volunteer in aftercare. But you can all stay by the stuff of the ministry of Plum Creek Christian Academy. The first way that those who are on the front lines need people to stay by the stuff is by keeping this church strong. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Plum Creek Christian Academy would not exist were it not for Dire Baptist Church. It is a ministry outreach arm of Dire Baptist Church. Ministry, outreach, arm, appendage. It's a part of the church. It's not a peer of the church. You understand the difference? The church is primary. There's all these different outreach ministries, and Plum Creek Christian Academy is one of those. And if the church fails, if the church stumbles, if the church ceases to exist, we're not going to still have Sunday school. We're not going to still have Friday night basketball. We're not going to have Plum Creek Christian Academy either. The church is here first. The church is the primary thing. The church is God's institution. The church is Christ's bride. And if we don't have a strong church, the school is quickly going to fail as well. So if you don't teach in the classroom, do your part to stay by the stuff by keeping Dire Baptist Church healthy and strong. It's our base of operations. It's our resource center. It's our command center. Quickly, what are some ways that you can do that? Well, number one, be an active member. Please, be an active member of your church. Don't be a I come and sit in the pew and slip out member of our church. That's not really what holds a church together. It's the active members that are involved, that are doing things. Not just on Sunday morning, but Sunday night and Tuesday afternoon and Thursday night and Friday and Saturday morning. You're part of the church. It's part of your life. Those active members keep the church strong. Number two, if you want to keep the church strong, be a faithful member. Be consistently in church. Not just when you're feeling good. Not when, like, wake up in the morning with the birds chirping on Sunday. What a nice day. I feel so rested and refreshed. I think I have time to, read a book of the Bible, drink a pot of coffee, have some cereal and muffins, and go for a walk, and still make it to church in plenty of time. Have you had one of those mornings anytime ever? No. A faithful church member is going to go to church when, oh my goodness, we overslept. Oh no, we had a terrible night. We were up late. The baby wouldn't stop crying. No. A faithful member comes all the time. Not when it's easy. The faithful member comes consistently. Morning, noon, and night. Be those faithful members. And you're like the 200 at the Brook Besor. You are keeping the church strong. A church is not a vibrant, vital church when most people just kind of come hit or miss. It doesn't work that way. Number three, you can help to keep the church strong by being praying members. Be active members, be faithful members, and be praying members. Pray for the protection of this ministry. Pray that God will keep us from temptation, from strife, from scandal, from frustration, from disaster, accident, injury. Pray for God's protection on this church, its staff, its leadership, the school ministry, the other ministries, the faculty, the parents, the children. Pray for your church. You can stay by the stuff if you'll do that. Intercede for God's blessing. We can do nothing without Him. Ben Franklin said at the Continental Congress, when the leaders of this soon-to-be nation just were making no progress, he said, "Gentlemen, it is doubtful that a nation can rise without the knowledge of God if a sparrow can't fall without the knowledge of God. And we have yet to seek His prayer, seek His blessing, and ask for His protection, for His help in prayer. Why don't we do that?" Listen, if the sparrows can't fall without God's notice, a church and a school aren't going to grow and be healthy without God's help. And so be interceding and be praying for the ministry here. And then fourthly, this is the last one under this point, keep the church strong by being a righteous church member. Be righteous. Just means do what's right. Just means walk uprightly, shun the evil, cling to the right. Choose to do the things that please God on a day-to-day basis. If it's good, watch it. If it's not, don't. If it's good, go there. If it's not, don't. If it's good, say it. If it's not, don't. It's that simple. The scriptures tell us that righteousness exalteth a nation. What exalts a nation? What's righteousness? Just doing right. Well, if righteousness exalts a nation, I think it probably could exalt a church as well for his glory. I think just simply having members on a day-to-day basis in their neighborhoods, at their jobs, and in the community doing what's right, that's going to make this church strong. We have to do that if we're going to stay by the stuff of the school ministry. I'm so thankful for those 200 in this story, and I'm thankful for the members here who can't teach third grade, who are never going to coach cross country. You're not going to be an administrator here, but you can support the ministry of Plum Creek Christian by being a good church member. We need you. We're counting on you. I'm not saying that to make you feel good. I'm saying it because we're desperate for your help. No, we're not in a crisis, but we want to keep it that way. And if we gradually ebb and flow and are not the kind of strong church we need to be, it's only a matter of time. I'll close with this. Be a person that stays by the stuff with your encouragement. Support and build up those who are on the front lines. How can you do that? Well, you can do it with lots of different ways. You can do it, I'll say first of all, with your words. Tell them that you appreciate them. It's still the beginning of the year. Long about February, they're going to be exhausted, bringing toothpicks to church every week just to keep the eyes open. It says you have to. It's part of being a teacher. It's long hours. And not only that, it's long hours. And thirdly, I'd like to point out that teaching requires long hours. It takes a lot of emotional and physical strength. A teacher is not relaxed when she's in front of her class. Her whole body is being used to teach. It's a very muscular thing. It's exhausting. Pray for their physical strength. Pray for their emotional energy. As one mentioned, they pour themselves out on their students, not just on their subject matter, but on what's going on in those kids' lives. Pray for them and encourage them. Lift them up. Other ways you can do them is by supporting them with actions. Some of you did that with collating. I can't tell you how great a ministry that is. You can encourage them and support them with feeding them. Some of you have taken to once a year or something like that, doing a meal for the teachers. That's so special. Maybe by attending special school functions and being excited for them and telling the teachers how neat it is. You might also help with the ministry of feeding and encouraging the teachers by giving them some food. Maybe a candy bar in their box or a meal or a candy bar in their box. You might also be a blessing to them by writing them notes. And just letting them know, hey, we're praying for you. You're doing a great job teaching third grade. I saw your kids the other day, and they're doing great. And let them know that you want to support them, and you want to be one that stays by the stuff. You might also consider feeding them. Teachers do like to eat, and teachers work hard, and sometimes they don't want to go home and make supper. And so you might have a meal here waiting for them that they could take home. I don't know. I don't want, you know, all of the teachers to blimp out on us here. Don't everybody feed them at once. Let's spread it out over the year. Maybe get a schedule going or something like that. But I'm trying to be a little bit humorous with you. But you will find a way if you want to. Say, Lord, what can I do? And I've joked about food, but the Holy Spirit knows your abilities and know how you could be a blessing. So be an encourager with your actions. Be an encourager and a supporter with your words. And keep Dyer Baptist Church healthy, growing, moving onward for the cause of Christ. And you will be one that stays by the school stuff. And according to this principle and principles in Philippians, I believe truly that you share peace in the fruit and the reward of this educational endeavor. If you will be one that stays by the stuff.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.